Hey, everybody. A new story from The Atlantic shows what we have been saying all along. People that die with COVID or from COVID. We're also joined today by J.D. Vance from Ohio, jdvance.com. Also, what is going on at the Met Gala? AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, costs $35,000 to go to the Met Gala. She wears a Tax the Rich dress. That and so much more. Also, you're going to hear me talk about Nicki Minaj. I get her momentarily confused with Cardi B, which honestly, we decided not to edit out because it's just hilarious that I don't know the difference between Cardi B and Nicki Minaj. But I do know the difference between Socrates and Plato and Aristotle. Aquinas, Augustine, Descartes, Hume, Smith, Locke, Hobbes, Rousseau, Madison Jay, and others. And I think you would like to listen to a program that knows the difference between those guys and couldn't care less about the difference between Nicki Minaj and Cardi B. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, it's charliekirk.com/support. charliekirk.com/support. Diane from Brea, California. I was just there. Thank you so much for your support. Sherry from Chesterfield, Virginia. charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Gary from DeKalb, Illinois, where Northern Illinois University is. If you guys want to support our program and our mission to reach millions of young people, get behind our efforts. Get in on the game, everyone. charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war. tpusa.com. J.D. Vance is here. Bombshell Atlantic story. I confuse Cardi B and Nicki Minaj. AOC wears a Tax the Rich dress. It's an action-packed episode. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Today is the California recall election. Today, Gavin Newsom is put to his greatest political challenge of his life. Joe Biden was there last evening, and we're going to go into great detail about that. And later this hour, we are joined by U.S. Senate candidate J.D. Vance from Ohio to talk about vaccine mandates and the kind of new partnership of corporate oligarchy and government to try to crush you. But first, I want to start with this remarkable story from The Atlantic. So The Atlantic is owned by Laureen Powell Jobs, or she's a major investor in The Atlantic. That's Steve Jobs' widow. She's worth $18 to $20 billion, and she is one of the most influential. Think of her as female George Soros. She has $20 billion, and she's willing to use it. She's invested in Now This, the Emerson Collective. And Laureen Powell Jobs investing in The Atlantic has always been about politics, not about truth. Now, The Atlantic has this story, which is The Atlantic being kind of a Democrat super PAC. That is one of the most important stories that I've seen published by a mainstream media outlet since the beginning of the Fauci virus, which is our most reliable pandemic number is losing meaning. So it says this. Some states, including Arkansas and Oregon, recently saw their COVID hospitalizations rise to higher levels than at any prior stage of the pandemic. But how do those latter figures really tell us? But what do those figures really tell us? Last winter, this magazine described hospitalizations as the, quote, most reliable pandemic number, while quoting cardiologist Eric Topol, saying it's the best indicator of where we are. On one hand, the death count offers finality, but they're a lagging signal and don't account for people who suffer illness but survived. But now The Atlantic says they were wrong, that hospitalizations is not the best way to actually track the severity of the pandemic. Instead, The Atlantic says a new nationwide study of hospitalization records, released as a preprint today, suggests that the meaning of this gauge can be easily misinterpreted. Now, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This article really upsets me. For the last 18 months, that's right, for the last year and a half, we've been coming on this show, traveling the country. I have given over 350 speeches in the last year and a half. We have done well over 400 podcasts. We have done hundreds of hours of commentary. And we have said at almost every single turn, especially whenever the Fauci Chinese coronavirus comes up, there is a difference of people that are dying from COVID and dying with the Chinese coronavirus. We have said for 18 months that some people that go to the hospital go because of a broken knee and they get tested positive. Now, St. George Floyd, may he forever be remembered as a martyr, as Nancy Pelosi would say at the beginning of Floydapalooza last summer, he was a COVID death. Did you know that? Did you know that George Floyd tested positive for COVID? Now, did George Floyd die from COVID or die with COVID? George Floyd, after Derek Chauvin put his knee on his neck, and George Floyd very well might have been experiencing a drug overdose. We may never know the actual truth. The first autopsy said that. George Floyd, the autopsy was also done, and they tested him positive for the Chinese coronavirus. Now, no one in their right mind said that the Chinese coronavirus was the reason why George Floyd died. Instead, we burnt down our entire civilization with billions of dollars of damage, cops being shot because we were told that it wasn't because of COVID he died. Obviously, it was because of evil white cops. But we've been saying for the last 18 months that hospitalizations is a misleading figure. And what did Fauci or the CDC or NIH or the pharmaceutical companies say? They say that you're a conspiracy theorist and you're a fearmonger. Things that the media call false end up being true 18 months later. I'm going to give you another example. I'll give you a prediction right now. In 6 to 8 months from now, right around Christmas, let's just say, actually, that's like 3 months from now. What am I talking about? In 3 months from now, Pfizer is going to want to boost their share price. So Pfizer is going to release a nearly identical drug to ivermectin. It's already been teased, by the way, an antiviral pill. So they attack ivermectin and they attack hydroxychloroquine, but Pfizer's just going to come up with their own antiviral pill. My favorite quote of this piece in The Atlantic is the final sentence. As we look to shift from cases to hospitalizations as a metric to drive policy and assess level of risk to a community or state or country, it's incredibly important that we should refine the definition of hospitalization. That those patients who are there with, rather from, the Fauci virus don't belong in the metric. You see that? The Atlantic is now saying what we have been saying on this program for the last 18 months. That when you see a COVID death, you say, wait a second, did he die with the virus or did he die of something else? Did he die from a gunshot wound, a heart attack? Did he die from a stroke? Did he die from old age? The question is, and The Atlantic says that we are nearly counting hospitalizations twice as high as necessary, double. The question is, how many of the deaths that have been attributed to the Chinese coronavirus actually are because of the Chinese coronavirus? We may never know. But what if I told you that the hysteria around the ticker on CNN of cases and deaths that happened, of course, only under Trump, might have been largely overblown? Do you notice how CNN has removed the ticker? Now that cases are actually higher than they were a year ago, CNN has no such COVID tracker. They did have it under Trump, though. Cases, deaths, constant propaganda, fear-mongering. Atlantic story, we're going to post this on the Charlie Kirk Show. Our most reliable pandemic number is losing meaning. So you're trying to say that children now have to go wear masks in school, like at the Scottsdale Unified School District? Children are being forced to get vaccinated under a number that, according to the mainstream media, Atlantic, has lost its meaning altogether. Not only have the policy solutions been unwise and immoral, but the way we've been diagnosing the problem itself has been wrong since the beginning. Every single person on television has been lying to you, playing into this, for a very specific reason. For a political purpose, not for one that will benefit the country. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? A lot. Truth is, I know millions of people. In fact, some people say over 100 million people are struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. Now, Pete and Seth Talbot, they are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. People ask me, tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. So maybe you want to be able to do cartwheels or be able to do backflips like producer Andrew. Maybe you want to be able to run a marathon, swim underwater, go scuba diving, jump out of an airplane, but maybe it's your knee pain, back pain, joint pain, whatever pain it might be. Maybe Relief Factor is for you. ReliefFactor.com, 100% drug-free. Check it out, ReliefFactor.com. A lot of drama around the Met Gala yesterday, $35,000 a ticket, and it was an incredibly impressive collection of low-IQ, arrogant, and seemingly rich people that are all gathering, without masks, by the way, all at one place. Now, we're going to get into AOC's dress, and also we're going to get into this other person never heard of, Cara Delevingne, whatever, with her dress that said peg the patriarchy or something. But the more interesting story is who wasn't there. Who wasn't there is someone that I quite honestly consider to be a degenerate, an awful influence on young people. You could just go look at one picture or one video of her. She's basically a glorified stripper with rap music. In fact, I think she used to be a stripper. She should have served prison time. Has she served prison time? Has Nikki ever been to prison? Yes, she has. Well, it wasn't enough. But she drugged people and stole their money from them under the, I guess you could say, auspices of wanting to be a prostitute with them. Wasn't that one of the things where she was wanting to be like something like that? She was like, oh, that's Cardi B. Oh, I'm told I'm not Nicki Minaj. Oh, okay. That's Cardi B. Okay. Never mind. Okay. Anyway, so Nicki Minaj, I got it totally confused. All right. It was all in our show prep document, so I'm sorry. All right. So Nicki Minaj tweets out, my cousin in Trinidad won't get the vaccine because his friend got it and became impotent. His testicles became swollen. His friend was weeks away from getting married, and now the girl called off the wedding. So just pray on it and make sure you're comfortable with your decision, not bullied. Now, the backlash to Nicki Minaj has been incredible. Not only are mainstream people now trying to cancel Nicki Minaj, they are in every single way saying that Nicki Minaj is spreading disinformation. Let's just read some of these headlines here. That even the Met Gala can't convince Nicki Minaj to get vaxxed. Nicki Minaj owed black women so much more than what she gave us this week. Nicki Minaj Met Gala vaccine tweets highlight struggle against COVID misinformation. Now, she's telling a true story. She's saying something that is true. And cut 40 for you to use your Joy Reid, who, again, we're not a fan of on this program, says that for you to use your platform to encourage our community to protect themselves and save their lives as a fan, I'm so sad that you did that. Cut 40.
You have 22 million followers on Twitter. For you to use your platform to encourage our community to not protect themselves and save their lives, My God, sister, you could do better than that. You got that platform. It's a blessing. It's a blessing that you got that, that people listen to you, and they listen to you more than they listen to me. For you to use your platform to put people in the position of dying from a disease they don't have to die from, oh my God, as a fan, as a hip-hop fan, as somebody who was your fan, I'm so sad.
Now, I just want to apologize for conflating Nicki Minaj and Cardi B. They hate each other, right? They're both in the female rap world, so it's like conflating Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, if you have not a football fan, okay? Not exactly into that whole world. But this is really interesting because now you have Joy Reid being the corporate spokesperson and Nicki Minaj is pushing back. Nicki Minaj is pushing back and she said, where's the tweet that she said against Joy Reid? She basically said that you're an anti-Semite and all of this sort of fighting here. But Nicki Minaj realizes one thing. She realizes that the freedoms you surrender today and the freedoms that you surrender today are the freedoms your grandchildren will never know existed. Let me say that again. That the freedoms that you surrender today are the freedoms your grandchildren will never know existed. So Nicki Minaj goes full 10 out of 10. I'm not even going to read the whole tweet where she says, "You are a lying homophobic C-word. I guess I can just join in the reindeer games too, right? People can go on TV and lie on me. I can report on them too, though, right? Doesn't have to be truths. It can be hat truths. Uncle Tommy Anna asked who on earth would trust the U.S. FDA guys." What Nicki Minaj is doing, whether she realizes it or not, is Nicki Minaj is actually articulating a rather prudent and common sense position that our federal health agencies have been lying to us for the last couple years. They've lied to us in years past. They were involved in forced sterilization of idiot women in the 1920s based on a vaccine ruling that was done in the early 1900s. We're going to dive into that actually at a different episode, a different time, and how the Supreme Court set the precedent for mass sterilization of 60,000 idiot women. So Nicki Minaj is saying, who would possibly trust the health agencies? You're the idiot. If you actually trust the FDA. Never thought I'd say this, but she's right. Do you know what big tech and big government have in common? They both want to silence any dissenting voices into submission. Let's say you're a proud gun owner and want to talk on social media about the right to bear arms. Well, chances are your post will be flagged by a content moderator and you might end up on some government watch list. To fight back against having your voice censored by both big tech and big government, I recommend ExpressVPN. You see, the problem with big tech is not only do they censor you, but they also track what you do online, what you're searching for, the videos you watch, and everything you click on. They can match your activity to your true identity using your device's unique IP address. When I use ExpressVPN, they can't see my IP address at all. My identity is anonymized by a secure VPN server. Plus, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of my internet data for protection from hackers and eavesdroppers. ExpressVPN is by far the best VPN I've tried. It's the VPN rated number one by CNET, TechRadar, and countless other tech publications. And what I love most about ExpressVPN is it couldn't be easier to use. The VPN that I trust, and you guys should do it. It's so simple. So stop letting big tech and big government censor and track you. Defend your rights and protect yourself at expressvpn.com/Charlie. That's ExpressVPN.com/Charlie to get 3 months free. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie to learn more. With us now is a friend of mine who I have endorsed and Turning Point Action has also endorsed, running for Senate in Ohio, the great J.D. Vance. You guys should all check out his website. I think it's jdvance.com. I don't want to say it out of turn. But J.D., welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. Yeah, you're right. It's jdvance.com.
You bet. So, J.D., you've been very outspoken about the vaccine mandates, and it is jdvance.com, so make sure you check it out, jdvance.com. Talk about the vaccine mandates and how people should respond to them.
Well, look, what I've called for is basically mass noncompliance, because I think if people ignore the order, it's impossible to enforce. The Biden administration can't come after hundreds of thousands of American small and medium-sized businesses. What they can is come after a few hundred. And so,
yeah, and I don't even think they're constitutional, but it's long past time that people start to actually push back in their own individual way. I also want to announce that J.D. Vance has been endorsed by Josh Hawley. That came out this morning. Senator Hawley has endorsed J.D. Vance, which is terrific. So just talk more generally, J.D., that if you become senator, what should the federal government be doing here? What should a Republican Party that is emboldened do to actually protect their voters against these vaccine mandates?
Well, I think that we have to make these corporations feel economic pain if they're going to do it, because a big part of the vaccine mandates is not just the federal government. It is the big multinational corporations. And I think you can even make a good argument that the actions of the big corporations emboldened the Biden administration to require these vaccine mandates. So I think we really have to be punitive towards the private corporations, or at least the pretend private corporations that are basically taking away people's rights to medical autonomy. And that's one of the things we have to do to protect our voters. And I think a whole host of issues. What I love about Hawley's time in the Senate is that he shows that you don't always have to, as a Republican, bend the knee to big business. In fact, if you always do that, you may very often make it harder for middle-class Republicans, conservatives, and Americans to live a good life.
And that really is the challenge, is that we are seeing inflation go up, wages stagnating, and I agree, Senator Hawley has really kind of changed the entire way that we do, that we communicate with a lot of these ideas. Can you talk about, J.D., about how major companies actually benefit from this vaccine mandate? About how these massive corporations, they were worried that there might have been another labor pool being created through competition, which is something you and I appreciate and want to see more of. But when you mandate something from the federal government, it's actually a bailout so that these massive corporations, they no longer actually have to compete to keep their own labor.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It gives workers less power. Think about this. If you are unvaccinated and you want to switch jobs from one place to another, these vaccine mandates effectively make it impossible. What does that do? That empowers the corporations to be able to control their own workers, control the labor market even more than they already do. And what I find so interesting about the political tactics of the modern left is they are all about rewarding their friends and punishing their enemies. I think you see this certainly with the inflation and spending conversation. You're right, inflation is hammering American workers right now, especially those who lived on a fixed income. But one of the things they're also doing on the left is with this tax bill, they're not just cutting taxes on some people and raising taxes on other people. They're going to cut taxes on their friends and raise taxes on normal, middle-class, conservative Americans, because that's what they do. And I worry that the Republican Party, the establishment folks, often get caught in this loop of, well, we want tax cuts, not tax increases. Ladies and gentlemen, the Democrats are playing a totally different game. The one thing we could do in response is say, well, if you want tax increases, why don't we tax the Ford Foundation? Why don't we tax the Harvard University Endowment? If they're going to play the game of rewarding their friends and punishing their enemies, we should return like fire and kind.
Well, I totally agree with that. Some Republicans, though, J.D., think that we still are living in the 1980s where both sides are just going to kind of harmonize with one another and they might disagree on tax policy but move on. Are you saying that we now kind of have to enter this new chapter of how we do politics in our country where we have to be committed to winning? It's a doctrine of trying to, quite honestly, save the country, and we have to now entertain other means if necessary. Is that what you're saying, and can you build out kind of the philosophical basis for that?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. And the basis for this is pretty simple, which is that the Democrats have merged public and private power. Republicans are terrified of using any power, but Democrats are using it in the private sector and in the public sector. Let me just give you one example. I talked to a guy recently in the state of Ohio, a medical doctor, successful, well-to-do guy, who is worried about losing his job because he is speaking up at his hospital about gender reassignment therapies, hormonal therapies, chemical castration, and even surgeries for children. Republicans have two choices here. We can ignore this and allow a pretend private company to force radical gender ideology on our kids and experiment on kids in the process, or we can actually use the power given by our constitutional republic to to the people to push back against this madness. And I think the answer for what we should do is obvious if we want to live in a society where children are experimented on.
And so the question really is, are we going to have a Republican Party that is willing to actually be able to push back against this kind of bipartisan corporate oligarchy? And one of the great examples of it, and I don't know, you could help me unpack this, JD, because I'm not even sure how to process all of it, is you have the $35,000 a ticket Met Gala last evening where no one is wearing a mask, no one is social distancing, and then you have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez with a dress that says tax the rich, which I'm not even sure how to process that. Is she saying that to – I think what she's really saying, though, is, you know, tax the rich Republicans and we're going to give carve-outs to the Democrats that are here at the gala. Because I think deep down, no one was deeply offended by that when they attend. And they see that because they say, oh, they're going to exempt us. How do you process that, JD? I saw you tweeted about it last evening.
Well, that's exactly right. They know that AOC is not going to raise their taxes. Because if they did, they wouldn't like her. But they recognize that, in fact, he's going to build a hyper-globalized economy that punishes American workers through mass immigration and free trade. They're going to benefit from it. And when they come to raise their taxes, AOC will be standing there saying, no, these are the good people. Don't raise their taxes. Only raise taxes on the small, mean, bad Republican businessmen and women. That's the game that they're playing. And you're exactly right. Nobody was wearing masks, which reveals the hypocrisy, with one exception, the workers. The workers were wearing masks, and it's a perfect encapsulation for this entire COVID sham theater, that the workers, the little guy, the normal people, get exposed to the rules. They are forced to follow the rules, and the people in their ridiculous dresses, they don't have to do anything because they're above the law. Of course, COVID doesn't come for the big dollar donors to the Metropolitan Art Museum.
And the kind of, I don't even know the right word is provocative, but just kind of the contradiction of AOC wearing the tax the rich dress while it's $35,000 a ticket. It's almost this fake populism, isn't it, JD? It's like, I'm going to go into the rich people's house and tell them to tax the rich. But that's not at all what was happening. She was a darling of the ball, right? She was part of that kind of ruling cabal. It's kind of this fake fight against the elites, right? It's the girl who pushed Amazon out of New York, right? Allegedly, but she's actually the one that's now, you know, being wined and dined by the very same people that she says she hates. A true revolutionary never would have showed up to the Met Gala at all. A true revolutionary wouldn't have wore some sort of dress that says tax the rich. It would have been in the streets chanting with the worker. I'm being, of course, somewhat sarcastic, but it is that perfect example, just like Nancy Pelosi's fundraiser, where all the workers are wearing masks outside while Nancy Pelosi and her almost all white donors are talking about how systemically racist the country is while they're being, you know, served a $2,000 bottle of wine. Same with Gavin Newsom at French Laundry. But JD, isn't it also incumbent on us to try to break this mentality in the Republican Party? Because the Republican Party sure seems to be plagued with this same sort of ruling class ideology in certain pockets of it, absent candidates like yours and Donald Trump.
Yeah, I worry about this because so many folks in the Republican establishment have not woken up to the fact that this is not a big government, small government moment. This is a moment of, do we live in an oligarchy or do we live in a republic? And we see this with the vaccine mandates, where a lot of Republicans have defended the vaccine mandates coming from private corporations under the guise of their private companies, so they get to do whatever they want to. Well, first of all, that's totally fake. They benefit from a number of special privileges. They're chartered by the U.S. government. They have legal liability protections that no individual or no family in our country actually enjoys. We also saw this, by the way, Charlie, with the gender ideology stuff. When social conservatives, when religious people demanded that we stop the madness of experimenting on children, trying to change their genders before they even hit puberty, what did the Republican establishment say? We can't do anything about this. What did the Chamber of Commerce say? This is an infringement on private decision-making. Well, I'm sorry. If it means protecting children, I'm more than willing to infringe on private decision-making. If it means not living in a corporate oligarchy, I'm more than happy to infringe on private decision-making. We are in a new moment. It's oligarchy or republic. It's time for us to choose republic.
I totally agree. JDVance.com, everybody. Check it out. And I'm going to be in Cincinnati in a couple weeks to help JD close September strong. JD, keep up the great work in the wonderful state of Ohio. I'm sorry about the Buckeyes, but besides that, I'm sure everything is going well. So, JD, great to talk to you.
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks for having me.
You bet. JDVance.com. Check it out, everybody. I often talk about the crushing debt and lack of jobs that come with the broken college system in our country and how entering a trade or vocational school can provide great career opportunities where you are and skills will always be in demand. I want to talk to you about a good friend of mine, a great American who runs an organization called the American Institute of Non-Destructive Testing. Maybe you're looking for a career. Maybe you just graduated high school. Maybe you are not really sure what you want to do with your life. Well, the American Institute of Non-Destructive Testing is a place where you can get a skill in 6 months, and 93% of the people that go through this training get jobs with wages of $50,000 and can earn to $70,000 or $80,000 a year. And you might say, what is it? Well, it's trainingndt.com. That's trainingndt.com to learn how you can have an opportunity to work in industries such as aerospace, oil, gas, nuclear, and alternative energy as a technician performing critical inspections that make our world a safer place. So non-destructive testing is where you are inspecting America's critical infrastructure. Let me tell you why this is important. It's recession-proof. Even if the economy goes down, things we already have need to get inspected. Critical infrastructure needs to be looked at. Rocket ships need to be looked at. Nuclear plants need to be looked at. And guess what? The people going into non-destructive testing needs to go up because so many people are retiring. There's a huge opportunity out there for you. Their program consists of 6 months online education, followed by 3 weeks at the American Institute campus using state-of-the-art inspection equipment such as ultrasonics, capturing x-rays, and producing magnetic fields to inspect critical components to ensure their safety and reliability. I want you to know that Don Booth, the CEO, is a patriot, and his whole team cares about the future of every single graduate. So if you guys are looking for a job, looking for a career, looking for the next thing to do in life, or maybe you're 40 or 50 years old, you're like, man, I want a fresh start. Go to trainingndt.com and learn about this exciting and rewarding career. We here on the Charlie Kirk Show want to give the muscular class a voice. 93% job placement. It's pretty amazing. No college can tell you that. 93% job placement working with your hands, maybe in aerospace, oil, gas, nuclear, or alternative energy. Go to trainingndt.com and learn about this exciting and rewarding career. It's all a fraud, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Welcome back. AOC at the Met Gala. She wore a Tax the Rich dress, all white dress with lettering, red lettering, Tax the Rich. AOC has never been a working woman's representative. Sure, she worked at a bar and she was a bartender. AOC has lived a rather pampered life. She grew up in an upper middle class neighborhood. She went to a private school. She has been the darling of the base of the Democrat Party. She has controlled opposition to try to make it seem as if there is a war being waged against the corporate oligarchy when in reality there isn't. Left-wing activists are being played for fools. So here's a really good question. If the tickets are $35,000 apiece, who paid for her ticket? The only explanation could possibly be her campaign paid for the ticket. Her campaign paid the $35,000 for her to go to the Metropolitan Gala. So nothing says like trying to wage a war for working people against the ruling class than to go wine and dine amongst them. Cut 32, she says, we need to really start having a conversation about what it means to be a working class woman at the Met. Cut 32.
When Aurora and I were first kind of partnered, we really started having a conversation about what it means to be working class women of color at the Met. And we said, you know, we can't just play along, but we need to break the fourth wall and challenge some of the institutions. And you know, while the Met is known for its spectacle, we should have a conversation about it.
Yeah. You look at kind of the imagery behind it, and you look at the ridiculous outfits. And by the way, this guy Lil Nas was there. I think he was there wearing some sort of stormtrooper thing. Have you noticed how his career has actually become more relevant after he did the blood-stained Satan shoe? Isn't that just kind of interesting? I also have found it interesting about how the Texas Democrats are counting on the Church of Satan to try and protect abortion. When Satan is on the side of your political party, you probably should reconsider your public policy decisions. I am proud to say the Church of Satan hates the conservative movement. That gives me great peace. AOC says, I think it's important because when we talk about a fair tax code, the conversation is between working and middle class people. I think it's time to bring all classes into a conversation about having a fair country. But she just wants to be part of Penem's elite. She wants to be at the highest level of the Hunger Games. For her, she's in the Capitol. She doesn't really care about working people. Of course not. And whatever tax code increase they'll have, there will always be carve-outs. Carve-outs for green energy, you see? Carve-outs for solar panel construction. Play cut 33.
I think it's incredibly important because when we talk about supporting working families and when we talk about having a fair tax code, oftentimes this conversation is happening among working and middle-class people amongst themselves. And I think it's time that we bring all classes into the conversation of having a fairer country.
Thank you so much.
I will say it's a public relations masterpiece, what she did, in the sense that she pretends that there is this revolution against the ruling class when in reality, she's a member of it. It's this kind of fake simulated revolution that the left, they are experts at. So the question is, how did she pay for this? Well, it's because New York City elected officials are regularly invited to attend the Met due to our responsibilities in overseeing our city's cultural institutions that serve the public. I was one of several in attendance. Oh, okay. So you don't pay the $35,000, but it is your duty to go oversee the cultural institutions. Now, the real question is this. Who wore it better, Chick-fil-A or AOC? Who wore it better, the chicken sandwich or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? I don't know. Now, I'm not a fan of Chick-fil-A, obviously, as they fund abortion groups. But I don't know. I think Chick-fil-A's got her beat on that. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. More coming up soon. God bless you guys. Thanks so much.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.